Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against the steel blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out of my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe. I still believe. Through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years. For people like us, in places like this, we need all the hope.
Welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the banner of the show is English Defence League radio show, pro-paedophile policing and other diseases. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing various diseases from a different perspective than the fake stream media. We'll be calming hysteria about the Wuhan virus and covering pandemics that threaten the world, those of corrupt and cowardly politicians, deceptive media, parasites, and the rampant plague of Islam. Wash your hands and put your mask on. Listeners, we're going in. No surrender ever. All that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was, of course, by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was, of course, by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me bring in my wingman, my colleague, my dear friend, from the other side of the pond in the great USA, Dave Agador Milner. Good evening and welcome into the studio, brother. I hope you are well and doing well and fine, my dear friend.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm doing very well and hope you are the same. And good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody in the United States. And greetings to everyone around the world and, of course, off Earth. We've got a big, big show, man. We have a lot of things to cover. And, yes, we will be talking about the Wuhan virus. But we do have a few things to cover first.
Don't get away from the bloody finger. We might.
No, we can't. Sadly, we can't. But we do have a few things to cover first before we talk about that. One of the things, we have a little bit of sad news, guys. We asked you on Sunday to please, you know, send your prayers to Deborah Blair Frazier, her family, for her niece, Alicia, who was suffering from cancer and had undergone extensive chemotherapy and was, headed out for treatment. And sadly, the little girl died. So, folks, please continue to shower that family with your prayers because they need them. At this point, we are going to be talking about the Wuhan virus, but don't think that we don't take every loss that people have very seriously. I think I speak for Jeff in this, and we do.
Young life as well. That's what always is so distressing to everybody around to know. Someone so young and had so much life ahead is taken away by this horrible, this cancer. Like most of us, we all send our thoughts and prayers to people and hoping that they pull through. Some people do, the power of prayer. We've always often said it, but unfortunately sometimes, and this is when it comes. This is when it's really quite upsetting, when you know that you've been sending your prayers out, and unfortunately the little girl was so dangerously ill that she passed away. As I say, God willing, she's sitting with the angels, and that's all you think, isn't it, Dave? But it's what's going on with the family now. When you leave someone, the family behind, it's the upset, the bereavement, and that is so hard, isn't it, for people that have thought so hard of this young girl, sadly, for her to succumb to the illness. And it must be devastating for the family. I think my thoughts and prayers go out to them, and I will, like yourself, Dave, we'll keep them in our thoughts and prayers. But Dave, back to you, mate. Just need to say that,
Oh yeah, of course, hard. Jeff. Of course, yeah, of course. But we don't want anyone to think that we take any death lightly at all. But we also have somewhat of happier news, Jeff. There is going to be an EDL reunion, is there not, brother?
There certainly is, Dave. Yes, on June the 20th. In Newcastle. So there you go. Some of the old faces, some of the new. Yes, there's going to be a reunion. Somebody, get your gear out, guys, your EDL gear. You're going back. You're going down the street again. You're coming down the road. You do what you've always so well, and I've always been so proud of the foot soldiers and the angels. Stand there and you do your thing. Yeah, and it's June the 20th, guys. June the 20th, so you've got a bit of time to arrange things, and you know it's going to be a good one. It's been a while since the troops have been on the streets, hasn't it, guys? Been a little while, a little bit quiet. But like most people, anybody who loves what we do, what we've always done, well, no, we're not sitting idly by and just letting the world go by. Nah. We're the ETL. We don't do that. And we got other things. We are, you know, in the background doing things. Like me, I do the radio shows and I'm still doing what I do. And like many of you are doing what you do. And as I say, when we're called to defend our country and to do what's right, we will always gather. We will always be fighting for what's right. We will defend those that haven't got a voice, and we'll speak out. And I will speak out every week, every Thursday and every Sunday. We will always speak out about the injustice of what's going on and the persecution of certain people that we know. The great patriots out there that suffers because they decide that they're, because they're true patriots and they love their country and they hate seeing what's going on, stand up and speak out. I mean, some of them actually, have a bit of politicians and call them traitors and end up in prison over Christmas. And, you know, that was Amy. That was what happened to her. Look at that, Tommy, he's dragged in front of the courts again. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. But there's some people that is their journey in life. And I'm nothing but, I look towards the people and I'm proud of them, you know, and noble and honourable what they do. I wouldn't say that. I wanted to make a statement because it needs to be said. And of course, that the world looks in, the world knows. You know, my politicians might try to say things and to try to darken our names, but the real people, not the fake, the plastic, the real people, those that's patriots, those that know the love of one's country, what is the right thing. They know, they get it. So it doesn't matter about you politicians, because you'll just be like a fart in the breeze. You'll be forgot like a fart. And it's people like Tommy Robbins and people like Bass Daly and many others that will be remembered. Tommy go down as a legend. You know, hundreds of years from now, they'll talk about it. They'll talk about Bass Daly. They won't be talking about the politicians, none of you lot, but they will be talking about the true heroes of our time. And God bless them. Dave, back to you, mate.
All right, Jeff. Well, you're absolutely right, man. And it's about the mission statement, and it's about what it stands for. But we're moving on to a bit more news here. All right. And this has to do with the petition that that people living in the U.K., can sign and are being encouraged to sign. Now, the name of this petition, we have the link to it in our show page at blogtalkradio.com, all right? But the name of this petition is Release the Home Office's Grooming Gang Review in Full, because they've said they don't want to release it because it's not in the public interest, all right? Now, this is does have enough signatures at this point to for Parliament to consider this petition for debate. All right, it needed 100,000 signatures, and it now stands, I just refreshed it, at 114,349. But they can use more. They can always use more. And I'm going to give you guys the link to that. In this form, okay, it is https://petition.parliament.uk/ petitions/, and this is the big one, guys. Remember this number, 300239. Okay, I'm going to say that number again, 300239. All right, and that one is one, if you're living in the UK and you're interested in the truth about these Islamic rape gangs, all right, and you're interested in the truth and how much the government has been involved in covering up and even aiding and abetting some of this, this is worth signing on to so that you can pressure your parliament to give this a look, and we'll find out just how conservative and how much for the people this new parliament is. Eh, Jeff?
Right. Yeah, I agree, I would say the interests of the people have to be heard, and the interest was when the government's trying to say it's not in the national interest. It certainly is in the national interest, because we've been fighting against this sort of thing for many years. It should be heard for all of us, for the whole of the nation to hear. How dare you? You're just politicians. And we're telling you, we, the sovereign people, are telling you, we want it to be heard. We want it to be heard. We want the nation to know what has been going on and how grave the situation, because the only reason this is not in the public interest, because it's very serious, because it's damaging for the politicians. That is the reason. That is why you, the great citizens out there, the great patriots, have got to keep signing that petition. If someone hasn't signed it, you go and make sure that they sign it. If your next door neighbour hasn't signed it, go and make sure they sign it. It's in your interest so that they will know, and that they just can't just sweep it under the doorstep, because we'll just keep on. We'll keep pushing it and pushing it. They will cave into us. We are the sovereign people. We're the sovereign. They work on our behalf. That's what they got to understand. They work on our behalf, and we want it to be heard. And with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you, mate.
Love it, Jeff. Love it. Love every bit of that. Now, you guys have we have tried to keep you guys familiar and updated with the situation that Tommy Robinson has found himself in, or has been put in, right? And of course, as we told you on Sunday, visiting tr.news is a good way between our shows to keep yourself clued up and everything, and knowledgeable about what's going on. But we do have two audios that I'm going to run, and then I'll comment on them. And you know, this will kind of help keep you spun up on this. Some of this stuff is really unbelievable. Okay, we're going to start this. This first one was done on the 6th of this month. Okay, and it's available right now at tr.news. The second one will be one that was passed to me by Jan Rennie, our team member. Okay, but we'll do the first one. Jeff, I know you always like to check the chat room to see if there's anyone there. You want to do that before we run this?
Yeah, I'm just in there at the moment. Yeah, it's all quiet on the southern front at the moment, Dave. It's all quiet here.
Okay, good. Good, then I'm going to go ahead and run this. This will be about 10 and 3 quarters minutes long. Give this a listen, guys, okay? This is Tommy Robinson. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here you go.
Who is it?
DS Hancock.
Who?
DS Hancock from Beds Police.
All right, yeah, what's happening?
I just wanted to give you an update on the investigation.
Yep.
I've been reviewing it today.
Yeah.
We're still reviewing it.
Yeah.
We have now got CCTV footage that we're going through.
Yeah.
We've also got some other people that we need to speak to that haven't been available today, that are staff at Centre Parks.
Yeah.
We've asked Centre Parks to do some other bits for us, and we're waiting to see whether that's achievable or not, which is basically putting out a message to all guests that were there to see if there's anybody that's seen anything. Mm-hmm. And I'll obviously speak to them if that's the case.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Is it you, you are the officer? If my daughter has told an officer, which she did, that that man grabbed her by the bum, yeah, and he's been identified, why wasn't he arrested?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for the officer concerned, to be honest.
Okay,
but,
if you're a police officer, you're looking at the case, what could the reason be? Why would he not? If a daughter, I see the police so many times, come forward, tell us what's happened. She done everything. She told you what happened. Why wouldn't he have been arrested?
One of the reasons he might not have been arrested was because he needed medical attention as a result of an allegation that you punched him several times.
Oh, right.
So
once you've given his medical attention, because he didn't go to hospital, why then wouldn't he have been arrested?
You're asking me to speculate on somebody else's thought process.
He wasn't
arrested. I mean, just because if somebody goes to a police officer and says something's happened, the initial thing the police officer will look for is some form of corroboration, i.e. a witness has said, yeah, I saw that and that's what happened.
So what you're saying is there's no point in a child ever going to the police and saying someone assaulted me and done this unless there's a witness.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Well, what's the point you're making then?
Well, because that then creates an investigation and then we look for evidence, which is what we're doing now.
Okay, as you're looking for evidence, was he there with any children?
Listen, I'm here to talk, to tell you what we're doing so far. The investigation isn't complete. I'm just giving you an update.
Okay, in your investigation, because I'd like to know as a dad, was he there with any children?
I'm not prepared to speculate or tell you
it's
that.
It's not speculation. You've checked.
It's not relevant. It's not relevant.
You don't think that middle-aged men...
No, I don't think it is relevant. Why is it relevant?
What, middle-aged men alone in a children's swimming pool is not relevant.
Well, who said it? You're speculating, Mr.
Yeah, who's speculating?
A middle-aged man on his own.
No, I didn't say he's on his own. I said he was with other men. That's what I said.
So what relevance is that to an allegation of a sexual assault?
Are you for real? Are you for real? You're a police officer. You've got middle-aged men, yeah, in a children's family holiday resort without kids.
It is not exclusively for children. It is a family resort, yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a condition that you have to be below a minimum age or with a wife and two children.
Men can
pay and go there.
So when you get... Okay,
that's a condition of entry.
So when men who have gone there, alone, as men, yeah, without kids or without partners, they've gone there as men, and a young girl's bum has been grabbed. Is it not? Do you not think that any evidence of what they were up to that weekend, whether they were videoing children, taking images of children, do you think they've maybe deleted it by now because you didn't take their phones? Shouldn't that not have been standard protocol of a police investigation? When a young girl has told you that she's been groped by a male who's there alone without kids in a family holiday resort with another group of men.
I'll leave you to speculate. I'm going to stick to the facts.
You're not sticking to the facts because I've asked you why you didn't arrest him.
I'm sticking to the facts. I've already told you what we're doing.
I've asked you why
you want me to speculate on other things.
I've asked you why you didn't arrest him.
I know you've asked me and I've told you what my answer is.
What is your answer? Why didn't you arrest him?
I wasn't there at the time.
Oh, so that's your answer. Why didn't your police officers arrest him? What's your answer?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Well, don't you think you should have found that out by now if you're ringing me up about my daughter's sexual assault?
I'm ringing you up to... Well, the fact is he wasn't arrested, was he?
No, so I'm asking you, why not? Don't you think as the investigating officer in this case, you need to go and find out why he was not arrested? Don't you think? Don't you think that should have been your first point of call?
Why would it be the first? But I can't change what happened several days ago, Mr. Yaxley.
I was taken away.
You got arrested because people come up to the police officer and said that you had hit this man in the face several times. That's why you got arrested.
Okay, so my daughter went up to...
He needed medical attention as a result of the allegation that you assaulted him.
The difference is my daughter went up to your police officer before you arrested me and told you what happened. So why would you not then arrest him? Why not?
Listen, he didn't get arrested. I'm giving you an update on the investigation.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to go
over your update on the investigation.
I'm giving you the update. It's quite clear that you want to ask me lots more questions.
Do you have
Please
CCTV?
Do so once my investigation is complete.
Do you have CCTV?
So I will update you tomorrow. Listen to me.
Do you have CCTV?
I will update you tomorrow when we have more information. I will continue to update you as the investigation progresses.
When are you going to...
We are reviewing CCTV footage that we now have in our possession, yes.
Great.
We are appealing for witnesses to corroborate what says.
When you say you have CCTV, where do you have CCTV from?
Where do you think? From Centre Parks?
Yeah, whereabouts from in Centre Parks?
I'm not going to tell you whereabouts from Centre Parks, Mr. Yaxley Lennon. All I'm going to say to you is I'm going to review it, and if there's anything relevant to what he says, then obviously that will be disclosable in due course.
Okay,
but I'm not going to tell you where CCTV cameras are located.
Why not? My daughter's
because
been sexually assaulted.
We do.
I want to know if it's on camera where
he's
sexually
assaulted. I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay.
So, all right?
Okay, I will
review them. Okay, I will review any relevant footage to determine whether has been subject of a sexual assault or not. And if has been subject of a sexual assault that's shown either on a CCTV camera or by a witness that justifies somebody being arrested,
you don't think telling your police officer she was sexually assaulted, that's not enough for a man to get arrested?
Mr. Yaslin, what part of what I've just told you didn't you understand? That's what I'm going to do.
No, you said you need a witness. That's what you just said. A separate witness.
I've said to you we are appealing for witnesses.
Okay, can I ask...
That's why you got arrested, because there were witnesses that said, actually, yeah...
No, mate, what your officer's done is they were so...
I'm going to finish the conversation now.
Why?
I'm giving you the update. If you want to make a note of who I am...
Who are you?
And if you want to contact me...
Who are you?
My caller number is 157.
Yeah.
I'm not here all the time, but in the daytime you can get me on 01.
Can I ask you, why have you...
I aim to get back to you by tomorrow lunchtime with an update.
When do you aim to actually get a video interview of my daughter?
There's no need to get a video interview of your daughter. The allegation is fairly simple, isn't it? She said from the SSO booklet that at the end of the water rapids, she was touched on the bottom once by an individual.
When you say touched... Was her word touched?
Touch? She said he squeezed the bum.
There's a big difference to touch then, isn't it, officer? Come on.
It's bodily contact between...
Oh, bodily contact. No, don't.
There's no different. Look,
you're completely playing it down. You're completely playing it down. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Mr. Ashton, I'm not playing it down. I told you I'm investigating an allegation of sexual touching on an under-13-year-old. That has generated a crime report where all the inquiries are logged. Under the I'll give you the reference number if you want it.
Yeah, go on.
I'm not playing it down.
Yeah, you are. Touched. Yeah, you are. Go on, what's it?
Why am I I'm not playing it down.
Well, you
I'm
tell me why.
Investigating it.
40? And excuse me, when you say at the end of the rapids, yeah? You are aware where she told you where it happened. It didn't happen in the rapids. It didn't happen where the rapids are. It didn't happen where there's any waving. It happened as you come out in the still water. Yeah? You're aware of that, yeah? She told you that.
Right.
Yeah, you were aware of that, though. You were acting like it happened in rapids. You're aware of that. It happened in still...
like I said to you, we're reviewing CCTV cameras. I've already looked at some CCTV cameras.
Yeah.
So I know exactly where it happened.
Oh, have you already looked at it?
I'm telling you that I haven't got a definitive outcome for you yet. All right. You can ask me 50 more questions. It ain't going to take us any further right now.
And at the minute...
I don't know why the person wasn't arrested on the day. One of the reasons may be that the officer deemed that the medical attention he needed was more important at the time.
Are more important. And
I don't know.
And what you've said is, all you've said is you don't want to speculate, but here you are speculating on why he wasn't arrested.
I'm not speculating.
Yes, you are. You're saying it might have been it. Well, that's speculating, mate. That's speculating. That's speculating. You're speculating that maybe the reason why he wasn't. That's speculating, which you said you're not going to do.
Yeah.
You're speculating.
No, I haven't changed my position from what I told you at the beginning.
No, you said you can't speculate as to why...
I don't know.
Well, you said you couldn't speculate as to why he wasn't arrested, and then you're saying, but maybe it's because...
Have you got my number written down?
Yes, I have.
Thank you. Okay. And
Can you please arrest a man that sexually assaulted my daughter?
As and when that happens, you'll be the first to know.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
It hasn't happened as yet.
I'm aware of that.
I'll be honest with
you. Huh? I'm aware of that.
Okay, as and when it does happen, I'll let you know. If it's not going to happen, I'll let you know that as well and the reasons why. I'll give you an update by noon tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, do you have any comments to make before we move on to the update to this?
Yeah, well, it was, like most people, if you listen to that so-called, he calls himself a police officer. We know his number now, we know his name. he'll go down in infamy, and I'm sure that PC Hancock will be part of the case against the police with not doing their jobs to protect children against paedophiles, gropers, whatever you want to call them. PC Hancock, yes, you will become infamous. And I'll tell you what now, if you're listening, your case, what you're putting up, what you said about Tommy, this, that, and the other, you will be ripped to shreds. You've got nothing there that's basically, you wasn't even doing your job properly. It's quite obvious. You've seen it, and you was lying. You was covering up. And it won't surprise me that you would let this person go. A paedophile, a groper. So PC Hancock, and to the wider world, yes, PC Hancock, number on his shoulder, 157. You are named and shamed today, and you will hopefully be dragged through the courts, and you won't forget your time, because I'm sure Tommy's defense team will tear you to shreds. With that, Dave, that's my thought for the day. Back to you, brother.
All right, Jeff. Now, if you want to check to see if there's anybody in the chat room, I'll go ahead and prepare to cover the update for this, which was passed to us by Jan Rennie.
Well, it's all quiet at the moment, Dave. I'm just looking in there. There was those tumbleweeds blowing about. It's very quiet in there. It's segregated or something like that.
I've
got a woo-woo going for it. You never know, Dave. But
All
quiet on the southern front, brother.
Good, okay. Well, now, if anybody does want to get into the chat, okay, you can go to blogtalkradio.com. Use the white center search box and put in English Defense League Radio. Follow the links, and you'll get to our current show page. We are, of course, on at our normal time is 8:30 p.m. in the U.K., Thursdays and Sundays, and normally it's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. That's the way it'll be after the 29th, okay? So just come on in, and you'll have to register with Blog Talk Radio. Then the Jeff will give you a shout-out. You can talk to Jeff, give him comments, and blah, 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 blah. At any rate, we're going to go ahead and run the update to this, which was given to me by Jan Rennie. All right, this happened the next day on the 7th from Tommy Robinson. And, Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this. This will be about 7.5 minutes long.
Okay, Dave. Let's do it. Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Here's the update from Tommy Robinson.
Another quick update for you. Many of you may have listened to the phone conversation of myself and PC Hancock, which has been released. He was the officer in charge of the case. He's been removed from the case now. He's been removed. Do you know what's concerning to me? Because I just don't trust any of it. I do not trust any of it. I cannot have faith or trust in the police, in their investigation, in any of it. I can't even. Most people saying, "Oh, I think you were set up," and I was like, "Nah, nah, nah." Now listen to the cop saying, "No, I've got the CCTV, so I know where it happened." I now have a recording of a police officer confirming he knows it wasn't accidental. I've got the recording. I'm waiting to hear from my solicitor. But I've got a recording of the police officer in charge of the case, confirming he knows it was not an accident. Why has he not been arrested? Now, you heard the phone conversation with the police officer, DC Hancock.
In that phone, officer, I say to him, when are you going to interview my daughter? Why have you not interviewed my daughter? Why not? Right? I've been ringing the police since day dot, contacting them. You heard him rubbish went me off when I asked that. Well, yesterday afternoon, they contacted my wife, who was asked to come with my daughter to meet a specialist team, to then sit and confirm. My wife wasn't allowed to be present. I didn't go. And my daughter had to draw and show and talk through what happened, where she confirmed again that her bum was squidged and squeezed by a adult male. Okay? Now, she confirmed it. If the police have then, now, sat my daughter down again, do you know what they've done in when they sat her down? They told her all about court. She's fucking 8. Whether that was to try and scare her, who knows, yeah? But they told her about court. If you've sat my daughter down and expressed to her about court and how court works and it should have to be sat in a separate room and all of these things, you've then put video cameras on her and you've sat down and took detailed details about what happened, and you then don't make an arrest of this man, if you still don't arrest this man, yet you prosecute me, yet I'm going to be facing possible prison for the allegation of assault. But in reality, who gives a shit? A paedophile grabbed my daughter's ass. He was prevented from leaving. Okay? And you're and all you're trying to do, the spin on this. Now, think about this. Imagine I didn't have the recording of my daughter, which I took instantly because I know I have to record things. Yeah? The only fact is I thought I was going into the swimming pool to look for this bloke. Yeah? So I had to record my daughter at 12 minutes past one. Before police were called to any centre parks. I had to record her. If I didn't have that recording, the headlines, the media, they would all just spun that I had attacked an Asian male. So was this possibly a setup? Would that have been the spin? How bad would they have thought I'd have beat a man up for groping my daughter? The only reason why I restrained him, the only reason why I prevented him from leaving, in which he got a bloody nose, yeah? A bloody, bloody nose. In which he got a bloody nose. Was because there was many children present who were very upset by what was happening. Now, the police wouldn't have... I don't know, man, but I now have on tape... So, Mike Graham, please all, everyone, contact Mike Graham and Talk Radio. Mike Graham belittled and politicised and used a sexual assault against an 8-year-old child. Do you know, whilst I'm on this, I'd like to thank those on the left and members of the Muslim community who have seen past my politics, who have seen past any grievance they have with me, and they've recognised this for what it is, a sexual assault on a minor, a young victim, a child, okay? Nothing to do with me. And so I thank those people who have done that, because I've been contacted, actually, by Muslims, members of the Muslim community, to say they stand with me on this issue, and they're disgusted, like everyone else, by the police reaction. I hope that as many people turn up outside Luton Magistrates Court on the 2nd of April to show their disgust at the police inability. What have we learned from Rotherham when fathers were ignored? What have we learned when fathers were arrested for trying to prevent the rape of their children? What have we learned? We've learned that Bedfordshire police see it as more important. You heard the copper's words yesterday. More important that Tommy Robinson has given Asian male a bloody nose after he sexually assaulted his daughter. That takes more importance than finding witnesses or seizing phones. Do you know, when there's an allegation, the police have to, under their own guidelines, caution someone. Anything you say may be given in evidence against you. They haven't cautioned this man. They've spoke to him about the incident. They've took a statement off him, and they haven't cautioned him. They haven't followed their own guidelines or laws. Why not? Why would they not have done that? Because they turn up and they're more important. Poor Asian man, bloody nose. Who cares if a young English girl was sexually assaulted? Who gives a shit, eh? Certainly not Bedfordshire Police. Certainly not Bedfordshire Police. Their major one priority, let's get Tommy Robinson charged, get him before a court, and let's let the media do what they do, which is completely spin this entire story. Lie to the British public completely. Completely omit the reality of why this happened.
an attempt again to send Tommy Robinson to prison. In the next phone conversation, which you'll hear, yeah, I confirm I was arrested for ABH. Okay, ABH. Why was I not charged with ABH? I'll tell you why, because then I'd get a jury. Then 12 members of the British public decide my fate. Not a judge. Right now, and I confirm with the copper who charged me, who's on the phone. So you dropped it to the lowest possible form of assault. What does that mean? It means I don't get a jury. Does anyone else find it? They talk about my mass criminal history and all these court cases I've had. Does anyone else find it insane that I've never had a jury? How can I not get a jury? Oh, man, it's frustrating. It's totally frustrating because you're playing now not with me, with my daughter. You fucking arseholes. And all you that people apologising for a paedophile. Totally siding with a paedophile. Talk radio. Talk radio. Your employee, whilst making a post about your company, belittled and rubbished the allegation, not by me, by an 8-year-old child who made it very clear what happened to her. But your employee rubbished it because of my politics? Fucking sick.
There you go, and welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your comments.
Well, yeah, I said it, and, you know, it was being Tommy even mentioned it, and he didn't say too much, but it's quite obvious it was a setup. You know, that this should happen, and they know how volatile Tommy will be, especially towards his children. Like any father, I'd be very volatile, and you would be, Dave. Any man would be volatile where children are concerned and trying to get to the truth and basically making a citizen's arrest. I mean, that's what he should have told the coppers in the first place. I made a citizen's arrest, and that's it. Within the guidelines of the law, you're allowed to make a citizen's arrest. When a crime has taken, has happened, there was a sexual assault, that was a crime, and he was restraining that person until the police arrived. Yes, 3 hours later. My goodness me, Bedfordshire police must have been very busy that day. I think the police station is probably about 2 miles away, though, something like that. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, as we know, and the Patriots know out there, it's always about trying to set Tommy up, you know, to take a fall, to send him to prison, to walk him over coals, hot coals and that. Because as his book said, he is, what's his book called, Dave? What's his book called again?
Enemy of the State, Jeff.
Enemy of the State. He's the enemy of the state because he's uncovering the dark state. It's quite a bit of dark state. This is nothing to do about politics. This is dark politics. You know, the opposite of that is the darkness. And that's exactly what Tommy, a bit like what Jill Prison does. He's been uncovering the swamp. And you get very dirty in the swamp, don't you, Dave, with the horrible filth that's out there. And sadly for Tommy, who is an honourable man, an honourable father, it's easy to lose your rag. It's easy to lose. I mean, I see, you know, I would have done the same. When I was being police were trying to arrest me, didn't have his shoes on even. They were trying to arrest Tommy while this guy who had molested his daughter was standing watching what was going on. But I don't know, I weren't there, so I can't say. We've seen no video or whatever, but I think it's so wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you feel like we do. So much injustice goes on in this country. So much injustice has gone on for years. All the time I've been a part of the English Defence League and doing what we do. I've never seen so much injustice. Thank goodness sometimes, because of our pressure that we put on, especially Rotherham, you put so much pressure on those scumbags there, that the council fell. Even the police chief himself had to step down in the end. This is what you can do as people, you know, but you got to. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that do what we do, and like Tommy, you know, they throw you in a cell, you know, try to shut you up. And some of us don't even come out. You get a year, and sadly, you don't see the light of the day. You get a year and a couple of 3 weeks to go, and unfortunately, you end up dead in your cell. That's what happens when you're a patriot, when you love your country. They hate you. They hate you. They want you gone. They want to shut you up. And what we're seeing with Tommy, it is a total setup. Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy might not say it, but we all can see it. It smells of corruption. It smells of what it is. One big setup with the deep state at it. As usual. They really despise Tommy. They really do. They despise any of us who speak out. But they always have done, though, Dave, haven't they? They always have done. Because they're dark and they're evil. And they don't want the truth getting out. But unfortunately for them, it's coming out all the time. But, Dave, let me pass it back to you. I've been on a, on a rant. I'll slip away slowly, aren't we? On me rant wave. I called it the rant wave. That's a good one, Dave, the rant wave.
There you go, Jeff. Yeah, well, it's understandable. And I really should have, folks. I apologize for the fact that y'all had to hear a little bit of language in there. But as I said to Jeff in message during the playing of this, I think I would have used worse language. I mean,
yeah.
This is there are two takeaways that I had from all of this, one of them being that even some people on the left have recognized that the state went too far this time. Okay, that not like
Muslims
they hadn't gone.
Let's tell it how it is. Even some Muslims actually got in touch with
me. Yeah, that's right. But you know, I'm concentrating this also on the left though, as well. You know, even they recognize that the state went too far. This, guys, when you vote Labour in the UK, guys, when you vote Democrat in the United States, this is what you're voting for. You step a foot wrong and you become a Tommy Robinson. And not just you are in danger, but your family is. And these people, especially that media parasite radio talk show host, belittling the sexual, the sexual battery, let's put it this way, of Tommy Robinson's daughter. This is what you vote for. This is what you get. And the other thing of it, I think it is interesting.
What was that, Dave? Do you mind? Have we got any idea who that guy was who's belittling Tommy's daughter? Have we got a name for him, by any chance?
It's in the recording, Jeff. If people want to get that, they can run that recording back. But the other thing that that gets,
check him out, guys, and maybe I don't know, flood him with emails or something like that. You know, because he's despicable. He is what I despise and what you despise, ladies and gentlemen. So, Dave, sorry, mate. I just wanted to just make that statement for our great listeners out there. Who might want to say a few words to this despicable person. Go on, Dave. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. To finish here, my second takeaway was I found it very interesting, as Tommy Robinson says, that he is not even going to get a jury in this case, and he's never had a jury. Okay, and I think that's partly because Even in the UK with this atmosphere that they have now, it would be extremely difficult for them to find a jury that would for sure convict Tommy Robinson under these circumstances. I mean, his holding on to that individual and, yeah, giving him a punch in the nose if he didn't want to stay was perfectly justifiable, all right? It was perfectly justifiable in any means, and I don't think there's a jury in the UK that would convict him. I really don't believe that there is. So that's why they didn't give him a jury. What they want to do is they want to put him in front of a judge and have that judge shunt him off to prison, and hopefully something, you know, hopefully there'll be a quote-unquote accident in prison, and they won't have the Tommy Robinson problem anymore. I'll tell you this. I know Jeff will say this. You know, if that happens, you're going to have a Tommy Robinson quote-unquote problem like you never had before. That's what I can say. Now, Jeff, it's 20 minutes after the hour.
Nightmare ever. We've all said that. You want to see a nightmare come true, politicians. You just what Dave just said there, if that comes to pass, none of you will probably be safe. No. I'm just speculating. It's not threatening, nothing like that. I'm just speaking out loud about what could happen. What do they call it? Hypersensitivity. Whatever they're going to call it. But these things can happen. And unfortunately, Tommy is a bit of a legend, he's a bit of a folk hero, I suppose. I suppose you can look at Tommy in that way, can't you, Dave? That people do relate to Tommy. He's a working class hero to a lot of guys out there. And that's what they despise, the establishment. They despise working class heroes. They hate them with a vigour. A bit like your Democrats hate President Trump, Dave. That same venom is what we see with your Democrats, the same with our Labour Party, with them over here. It's very, very similar, Dave. But we shall see how this is going to unfold very quick. I mean, also, I do know that there's another case that was at today in court, and I don't know what actually happened. But Tommy had to appear in court today over this Syrian kid, Dave. And Esther Levent was there as well. So I heard, but I don't know how this has unfolded. So maybe when we come to the show this Sunday, we'll have more to speak about what went on. This case goes back, I think it was last year or so. There was some bullying going on at school. And anyway, I won't go into no details because we had got the story there. We're getting off the track of what we're talking about. But I wanted to let you know, Dave, what had actually been going on today. And I don't know what actually happened today. All I know is that Esla event flew over from Canada to be over. I'm sure it's today. But anyway, back to you, mate.
Right, Jeff. And if you want to call back in, I'll go ahead and run some promos, and then we'll get back to the second half of the program.
Oh, my goodness me, Dave. The time's gone by too quick. Thank you, buddy. I'll be back in a minute. Thank you, mate.
All right, guys. Now, I'm going to go ahead and run some promos here. And we've got a little bit of a new set of promos that we're running. We don't often do this, okay? But we're going to go ahead and run these promos. These are from the Exceptional Conservative Network, where you guys will be able to hear me tonight at after 10 p.m. Eastern. That's after 3 a.m. tomorrow in the U.K. I'll be on there with Ken McClinton, who runs the Exceptional Conservative Show, and I'll have some commentary there on some various things. But he also runs the Exceptional Conservative Network. You guys can also hear me on the Western Free Radio Network and SHR Media, my page, The Unpleasant Blind Guy, at Spreaker.com. I'm going to go ahead and run these promos as Jeff calls back in. And you guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Let's take about 5 minutes. Here you go, guys. These are some great people that are associated with us and have some great shows.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to theexceptionalconservativeshow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick you bellis as host, and C.S. Bennett, co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
It's Your Business Diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truth on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule.
The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York.
The Lid himself, Jeff Dimmitt.
Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com and Lid Radio. We fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen,
Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss.
It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dimmitt.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Good evening. Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show is featured on the SHR Media Network every Tuesday and Thursday night for 2 hours at 11 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Pacific. Whilst manufacturers are running out of metal for the diapers of the leftists, BZ continues to radically change the world of leftists, one diaper at a time. Stop balancing your checkbooks. Stop cleaning your fish tanks. The Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show is your magnet for truth, justice, obesity, a darkened studio, and late-night freedom. No United States of America freedoms were abridged in the making of this ad.
This is Shannon Wright.
And this is Michael Wright.
Reminding you to listen
to The Right Way with Shannon and Mike.
Every Monday through Thursday.
7 to 9 a.m.
Right here on
shrmedia.com.
Join me, Jack Alexander, for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast, as I take a unique outsider's look at the issues affecting the USA. I fearlessly take on the issues that everyone else is too scared to touch. The Jack Alexander Experiment podcast is available wherever good podcasts can be found, like Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcast. The Jack Alexander Experiment, because it's not a matter of left versus right, it's a matter of right versus wrong.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, the Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's the Unpleasant Blind Guy.
On EDL Radio,
there's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Featuring the effervescent contrarian Sackhead Clint, plus the unrestrained bulbosity of BZ, the Sackheads Against Tyranny is a real chat show. Doubling your late-night conservative talk show pleasure with double the hosts, you can listen every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Please note, Some contents may have settled during shipping. Member FDIC, batteries not included, warranty voided Montenegro.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Ed, you're listening to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell.
Who's
right
here? Yeah, it's good, man. I like that jingle. Wow, it's all new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all brand
new. You wanted to surprise me, didn't you, bruv? You wanted to surprise me. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's very nice, Jeff. All kinds of good shows out here, guys, that you can listen to. You don't have to listen to the fake stream media that are doing nothing but talking about what we're going to be talking about the next half of this show here. You know, talking about real issues affecting real people, and it's all great, Jeff. But I'm going to get into
brilliant.
The second.
Just to go one more time. It was brilliant. I love that jingle. The jingles are brilliant. I love all them people.
they're good folks. They're good folks. And now, guys, we're going to talk about, you know, sadly, if you're sick of hearing about the Wuhan virus, we're going to talk about the Wuhan virus. But we're going to try and do it from a different perspective. As I said, first of all, calling it the Wuhan virus. Now, it came out a few days ago from all sorts of the lefty media people that calling it the Wuhan virus is racist. Okay. And, you know, they want to call it COVID-19. Okay, first of all, Jeff, I have to say this, man. If people are under 50 years old and they're living in the UK or in the United States, they don't know what racism is. Because we remember that everybody that's 50 years old or older remembers things, you know, times like the 1960s and 70s when there was real racism. Okay? People were really discriminated against. All right? We know because we've lived through seeing it, and those of us, of course, who have a skin color different from white, lived it themselves, okay? But if you're under 50 years old, you really don't know what racism is, and I am sick and tired of the word racism being tossed around and racist being tossed around, making the real problem of racism, the evil of racism, trivializing it, and turned it into a political football. So am I going to call it the Wuhan virus? Yeah, I am, because that's where it started, in China. Okay? So that's going to be the start of it. Jeff, what's your view on that?
All I'll say is Wuhan is the Wuhan flu. It's not using any racial aspect whatsoever. It's just the place where it come from. It's got nothing to do with race. It doesn't matter. It flared up from Wuhan, the actual province of Wuhan. It has nothing to do with the people. And these people that put out this racist slur because we speak about the Wuhan flu, because that's what we look at it like that. We just look at it as the Wuhan flu. It's no, you know, it just, why do they want to play this card all the time? Why do they want to play a racist card? It's got nothing to do with race. Are they so that they've got nothing to work with apart from throwing a racist card there?
No, they don't, Jeff. They don't.
It just angers me. Does it angers you, Dave? It's just despicable that
they
use
don't,
that.
Man.
And the word racist used to be a word that, you know, used to be people, you know, use that word when people truly was being racist towards another race. This has got nothing to do with race. This is where, you know, a horrible virus has come from and it's infecting the world. And it's nothing to do with racism or anything like that. It's just we have to deal with what is being unleashed on the world, what's escaped into the world. You know, so it's got nothing to do with race. It's a fight for the good of our nation and the people of our nation. It's no time to play politics. You fucking idiots. Leave it out. Leave it out and let people fight this fight, because this is a serious issue that we got here. So stop playing the political card, the political games, because we don't want to hear it. All we want to hear is people trying to help people get better and to solve this very serious issue. Just jog on with all this racist crap. Dave, I'm sorry, but I had to unleash on these idiots. How dare they?
And the idiocy is continuing worldwide, Jeff. Now, in the States today, we had Sanders and Biden come out and give speeches about everything. About the Wuhan virus.
Dumb and dumber.
It was terrible. Biden didn't do anything hardly except insult President Trump, called him a liar and a science denier. That's not going to make anybody better. Sanders came out and said, let's just make everything free and become a communist state. That didn't make anything better. Now, I'm going to cover something here, Jeff, that I found. This here is how things are in Italy, okay? This here comes from the Daily Mail. I'm going to try and get a date on this over here in case you guys want to go looking for it. This is from the 11th, all right? And this is by Chris Pleasance, all right?
Yesterday, so it's pretty new, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's by Chris Dyer. So if you guys want to go looking for this one, you can find it. This shows you the stretch of some of the hysteria that's going on. And this is Italy that they're talking about here, okay? Italy announces all shops except pharmacies and food outlets will be closed as Wuhan virus death toll climbs by 31% to 827 in 24 hours. And get this, guys. And intensive care units are advised to stop treating the elderly. And isn't that again, for all you guys out there who are over 50, doesn't that give you a nice sense of security? I'm going to read the bullet points here. Again, this is Italy, people. All non-essential shops except pharmacies and food outlets will be closed in Italy as cases of the Wuhan virus soar. And yes, I am changing it from coronavirus to Wuhan virus as I read. Okay, the second one. Cases in Italy jumped in the last 24 hours by 196 to 827 as intensive care units face acute shortage of beds. All right, the next one. As a result, medics should stop treating elderly and focus on those with better survival chances, doctors warn. So the doctors are just saying, we don't want to treat old people in Italy. This is how bad this hysteria has gotten. This comes as the Wuhan virus cases in Italy top 12,000 with more than 800 deaths. And Europe went over 22,000. I'm guessing that's 22,000 cases. Denmark has announced it will close all kindergarten schools and universities for 2 weeks over the virus. All right, and that's the hysteria that's going on in Italy. Over here in the United States, I can report to you guys that we have several governors and mayors of major cities who are restricting the numbers of people who can gather together. Some of them are saying, like, well, okay, the mayor of New York has said under 500 people. The mayors of some other cities are saying 50 and under, things of that nature. And one of the things that struck me, Jeff, as I was listening to this stuff, in preparation for the show today, was a lot of these governors appear to be Democrats. That's the equivalent of the Labour Party in the UK. So this is something that a lot of people are saying, and it's something that I've known for a while. I was going to talk about this last week on Ken's program, but I wasn't able to. This hysteria that's being fanned by the lefty media and attacking the stock markets around the world and things of that nature is the exact thing that I said would happen. I said that they would try and do things that would wreck our economy this month or next month. And whatever they were going to try, they don't have to try anything else. Now they can use the Wuhan virus as a cover. And you see Democrat mayors and governors shutting down cities and states as far as gatherings go, sporting events canceled and things of that nature. And this will depress the economy. They're doing it, in my opinion, Jeff. I think they're in private, they're rubbing their hands in glee and going, we can blame President Trump for all of this, which they're doing, all right? And this is just something they love. From the outside looking in,
really,
yeah.
They could have really bite them hard in the backside, so they, I don't think they, maybe it was manufactured, maybe it was, many of us have talked about it, if this was set up. I mean, they were talking about contingency things, about a pandemic, of how they would do things. And it seems very funny after a short while that all of a sudden that this happens out of China. Before we know it, we got this pandemic that's affecting basically the globe. It's just weird the way that it's come about, Dave. When they're talking about it, it's all about contingency plans and what we do, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it falls into place, doesn't it? It goes to show. And I'm not a one for conspiracy theories, this, that, and the other. I've never had been, and I despise that. But it's not right about this whole thing, is it, Dave? And you said that to me as well. We talked about this long before this come about, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, before we knew about woo-woo coming onto the scene. Am I right, Dave? We were talking about this last year sometime, weren't we, mate?
Well, yeah, and Jeff, what I want to do now is provide people with a little bit of perspective, okay? And this is important, guys, because the Wuhan virus, yes, it is a virus that people can catch easily. That's only because they don't have any resistance to it. But the best figures around now say that 80% of those do not require hospitalization, and there's only about a 3% maximum mortality rate to it, okay? And that is because it is older people who have pre-existing conditions and things of that nature. This is This is far less of a serious thing as far as the disease goes than we have handled in the past and are still handling. Okay, and this is for the UK and the United States, but this is a fascinating article that I shared with Jeff. This one came out on the 11th, you know, came out yesterday, and this is from the Express, all right, and this is by Katie Sewell, and this really, guys, should provide you with some great perspective here. Now, this says, I'm going to modify this slightly, Wuhan virus versus Black Death, okay? Which is worse, COVID-19 or the bubonic plague? And remember, and guys, I'm going to have a little surprise for you at the end of this, okay? I'm going to have a little surprise for you. Now, since the latest Wuhan virus was discovered in Wuhan, China, in December 2019, more than 120,000 people have been infected. Of those people, 4,373 people have died. But despite the number of worldwide cases continuing to increase daily, the World Health Organization, they have now declared it to be an actual pandemic. Okay, that's how fast this stuff moved. That happened yesterday, and this story was obviously filed before that time. But we're going to scroll down here, and we're going to continue with this. Let's close that stupid video. Okay. Now, yes, close the video. Okay. All right, here we go. There is not a set definition for a pandemic, but a virus is thought to become a pandemic when it becomes prevalent across the world, which honestly, guys, it did weeks ago. All right, Wuhan virus has been classified as an epidemic, as the majority of Wuhan virus cases have been reported in China. But the rapidly increasing number of cases in other countries, such as Iran, South Korea, and Italy, as we just heard earlier, have prompted fears the virus could soon become a pandemic, which it has. All right. So how does COVID-19 outbreak compare to one of the worst outbreaks in human history, the Black Death or the bubonic plague? Okay. I'm going to scroll down a little bit more, guys, and we're going to tell you that this really ought to give you guys the perspective, especially those of you who know about history, or maybe some of those of you who don't know about history. Okay? Now, what was the Black Death? The Black Death was an epidemic of plague which swept through Europe in the 14th century. As far as we know, Black Death originated in China before spreading through the Middle East to Europe through trade routes in Italy. The plague dramatically reduced the European population, with some experts predicting up to 60% of the population were wiped out. I'm guessing that was actually projecting. Now, that's 60%. I've actually heard the median figures I've actually heard are closer to 40 or so percent. All right. And even that's a lot of people. Okay. In other words, 4 out of every 10 people in Europe died, and you know, quite a few in the UK. Now, the plague spread to humans by vermin like rats and mice. And the rats and mice carried fleas, by the way, guys, that had the virus in them. Okay. The bacteria, Yersinia pestis caused a number of plagues and is usually spread by the fleas on animals, which can pass on the bacteria. Plague still exists today, and I'm going to give you guys some figures for the United States here in a bit, but it is now better understood how to effectively treat the disease. Much of the world has witnessed a plague epidemic at some point, but most cases in the modern day occur in Africa. The three most endemic countries for plague, in other words, the three countries where the plague mostly turns up today, are DR Congo, Madagascar, and Peru. Okay, that's in South America. So there you go, guys. Again, the plague is still around, and it still pops up every year. Okay, now, is COVID-19 worse than the Black Death? And this is the real perspective, guys. Okay? At this time, the latest COVID-19 outbreak looks to have a much lower fatality rate than the Black Death. According to the World Health Organization, the Black Death of the 14th century, get this, guys, killed more than 50 million people. The bubonic plague, the most common form of plague, was characterized by swollen lymph nodes or buboes. That's where the term bubonic plague comes from. People infected with the bubonic plague had, get this, guys, a 50% chance of death. So if you got the plague back in the day, or even if you get it today and it's not recognized, yeah, you got a 50% chance of dying. Of the 121,564 confirmed cases of COVID-19, 4,373 people have died as of March 11th. In total, 66,239 people have recovered from the virus, and experts believe the latest Wuhan virus has a fatality rate, okay, get ready for this one, guys, of between 1 and 3%. That's 3% max, people, as opposed to the bubonic plague, which had a 50% mortality rate, guys. Health Secretary Matt Hancock said the UK government's very best assessment was that the mortality rate was 2% or likely lower. There you go, brothers and sisters in the UK. Now, a little bit more perspective. Other outbreaks of recent years appear to have had much higher fatality rates than the Wuhan virus, and I'm going to get down to that. And guys, I really hope that this is giving you guys some perspective, because there's a lot of hysteria out there over the fake stream media. Here we go. The severe acute respiratory syndrome, remember SARS, everybody, outbreak in 2003, is thought to have had a fatality rate of some 11%. The Middle East respiratory syndrome, MERS, remember that one, in 2012, had an estimated fatality rate of 34%. That's a third, man.
Wow.
In comparison to the Black Death of the 14th century, the latest COVID-19 outbreak has also caused much fewer deaths. It is also the case that less people have been infected with COVID-19 than the plague. And part of that is just because people are taking good precautions and things of that nature, and people actually do stuff like wash their hands and whatnot.
Wash your hands.
Now, there you go, Jeff. Now, I want to do one more thing here. Now, I sadly do not have figures for the United Kingdom, but I do have them for the United States in regard to the bubonic plague. Guys, diseases don't go away. And that last thing that I read just proved that. Okay, this is something I got off of the Centers for Disease Control website. Okay, you can find that here. Okay, over 80% of United States plague cases have been the bubonic form. In recent decades, an average of, here you go, guys, 7 human plague cases have been reported each year, and that ranges from 1 to 17 cases per year. The plague has occurred in people of all ages, infants up to age 96, though 50% of cases occur in people ages 12 to 45. It occurs in both men and women, though historically is slightly more common among men, probably because of increased outdoor activities that put them at a higher risk. Okay? So the bubonic plague never went away. Whenever there's an outbreak, and Jeff, you remember a few years ago we were doing a show about another bubonic plague outbreak that was coming from the Middle East?
Yeah.
Our health services.
About that, mate.
Yeah, our health services handled it. They handled it. They handled the bubonic plague. Okay?
Yeah.
And even, you know, I hate to give the Obama administration any kind of credit, but they handled Ebola. Ebola is some nasty stuff, and they handled
yeah,
it,
mate.
And they dealt with it. And, guys, I want to finish the message off, and, Jeff, please comment once I'm done here with this. Okay, no, the Wuhan virus thing is not going to go away in the next 2 weeks or a month. It'll probably be hanging around for a year or more, okay? No, it's not something, you know, any deaths from it are not something to ignore. But there are far, far more deaths occurring from the regular flu than from this. The mortality rate is higher. And we have handled, all of our health services in the UK and in the United States have handled far worse diseases than the Wuhan virus. Guys, I know what the fake stream media is scaring the crap out of you, and it's understandable that they are, okay, but if you just take the precautions, you know, washing your hands and whatnots, and you know, just being careful and staying home when you're sick and things of that nature. Okay, yes, it's going to be rough for a while, but we will get through this, okay? And, you know, hey, I got to say this too, all right? You know, put your faith in Jesus, and yes, we will get through this. Jeff, please comment, man.
Yeah, as I say, just the most important thing is what everybody tells you is, just make sure you wash your hands 3 times. And don't forget your face as well. Don't forget your face. I mean, it's so important. And, yes, not everybody's got the hand washing can afford it. Sometimes you just got to use the old good old-fashioned soap and water. That is it. And as the medical teams out there will tell you, it does the job. So just wash your hands more regular than you'd normally do. Don't forget there is something nasty that's around. And you can get infected with it. If it spreads like it does, you know, I think everybody's got a chance of catching it one way or the other. Hopefully, like myself, I just hope it don't touch me. You know, that's what we all do, don't we, Dave? But no, it is. Dave, thanks for those facts, because it did bring things into a proper perspective. And also, you've got to remember, with the bubonic plague, that it didn't affect a sort of age group. It affected every age group, didn't it, Dave? It was right from the young to the middle-aged to the elderly. It affected everybody. So, yes, it was more. Because at the time, they didn't know how to stop it, did they? So it was rife. No one knew to do different things like we would say today. We've come a long way, haven't we, Dave? But anyway, that's for another. We'll probably be talking about this. The woo-woo thing comes handy. You know, there's so much news out there. Dave, your final thoughts this evening? And I did like the jingles tonight, brother. I really did.
Well, I'm glad you did, Jeff. And I just want to say to people, all right, just put your faith in the Lord. And, be blessed and no surrender, Jeff. I'm going to throw it right back to you because we're short on time.
Yeah, we certainly are. But, Dave, once again, thank you very much. Great slides tonight. And I think we've got everything in there we wanted to do tonight. And, yeah, we'll be back Sunday with more stories, this, that, and the other, like we normally are, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed the shows as much as we have bringing them to you, myself and Dave. So, Dave, once again, and to everybody out there, whatever devices you're listening on, you take care, stay safe, make sure you wash your hands, and be vigilant, and no surrender ever. And with that, we are going underground. Once I can find me, I can't find it, Dave. We're all done with it. Oh, yeah. It's the old age catching up, mate. Oh, my God. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go in underground. Take it away, boys. Cheers, Dave.
Good night, Jeff.
Well, there you go. I think we got right up to the line there on there. I'm doing really well. Yeah, about 3 seconds spare. So anyway, guys, as I say, we'll be back again this Sunday with another show. So once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great work with the great slides and the great script for this evening. We'll see you again this Sunday. Okay, guys, take care, stay safe. And this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. But we'll see you Sunday. Good night. God bless, guys.